This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, so let's talk today about when meditating is hard. That's essentially the theme of today's talk. It's about what kind of obstacles get in the way of our meditation practice and how can we work with them. And this is I've talked about this a lot over the years. Some of you may have heard it in the past, but it's really important and significant to helping us to understand what we experience when we're meditating, that is very, very common. It's so common that people have created lists about what's sometimes called the hindrances or obstacles to meditation. And once you understand them, you realize it's not unique to your own personal meditation practice, but it's actually something that all of us are dealing with. And then there are ways and tools to work with it. So if you think about, have you ever, made a plan for a big, like, camping trip or hiking trip, and some of you I know don't do that, but for those of you who have, there's always obstacles. Everything we do, there's obstacles. There's outer obstacles, there's inner obstacles. So an outer obstacle on a camping or hiking or climbing a mountain kind of trip might be weather. We don't know what kind of weather we have. Our map is outdated, our shoes break, it rains, it snows. We have all sorts of obstacles that seem to hinder the trip that we're taking. And then there might be inner obstacles, things like fear or loneliness or feeling like I'm never going to make it, lack of belief in ourselves. So I wouldn't ever say that a camping trip was not a camping trip unless it went perfectly. In other words, I hope I'm saying that right. It's not supposed to be that you never have any obstacles. There's nothing we do that doesn't have obstacles, except occasionally something goes like incredibly smoothly. But for the most part, there are obstacles in whatever we choose to do. And so, but the thing that's important to understand is this is the experience. It doesn't take away from the experience. It doesn't take away from the hike or the camping trip. It is part of it. And sometimes it makes the best stories later on, right? When we tell, oh yeah, I had to deal with this rain situation. So can we stop being in resistance to it and thinking that when we're having difficulties, and now I'm not talking about camping trips, I'm talking about our meditation, or in the midst of life, can we meet and open to whatever life brings, work to fix and adjust when necessary, and then see what happens when life becomes like, oh, this is part of life. Sorry, not life becomes, but the obstacles become part of life. Like, oh yeah, this is life. It doesn't mean we don't have preferences. Of course, we want things to go smoothly. I just an example I was sharing a few weeks ago that I took my daughter and to a bunch of different colleges to look at. She's still a couple of years out, but I was so excited. I made all these plans and hoped that it would go really smoothly. And of course, it didn't go really smoothly. It was stressful because we were trying to get from one place to another. And then what if we did? At one point, we thought there was something wrong with the car, but it turned out to be okay. But we got locked out of an Airbnb. And then in the midst of seeing all these tours, it was like in the 90s. And my daughter, suddenly her each looking at each college was colored by how hot it was, and so I don't like that school. I'm pretty sure she didn't like the school because it was hot. And what was also funny was, I can't tell you how many questions we heard on the campus tours about, are there air conditioning in the dorms? Like everybody kept asking, there must've been like 8 questions about air conditioning. So I didn't take it as though the trip was messed up. We still had all these beautiful times and beautiful experiences and enjoyed looking at these incredible places and felt so lucky and so grateful and went to different cities that my daughter had never seen and had a lovely family time with my partner and her. But the experience of the obstacles that so-called messed up the trip didn't really mess up the trip. They were just part of it, and we had to learn to work with them. And that's the key. And that's really what we're going to show you. What I'm going to show you with the meditation. It's the issue is how we relate to the obstacles. Do we relate to obstacles in our life or in our meditation practice with resentment, self-judgment, anger, pity, feeling like it shouldn't be happening? Why is this happening to me? The trip is ruined, right? Or do we relate to obstacles with curiosity, mindfulness, openness, ingenuity, and a really important dose of humor? And you can tell when you relate to them in that way, things become really different. So when we're working with obstacles in meditation, there are two specific ways that we'll do it that. So one is making changes to what we're doing. So for instance, if we're feeling sleepy, a very simple thing to do would be to open our eyes. So that's making a change, right? Like acting appropriately to address the obstacle. The second thing is learning to open to the obstacle that exists and seeing it as part of our practice and bring our mindfulness directly to it. And this doesn't mean like we are not kind to ourselves. So for instance, when I was doing the tour with my daughter, there was one point we were about to go to college and it was so hot. And she's like, "I can't do it. I just can't do it." And I'm like, "I think there's a museum nearby. It has air conditioning. Let's go." And we saw this wonderful, we went to an incredible museum. It's lovely. And we didn't get to see the university, but that's okay. So sometimes you make decisions that are to avoid the obstacle, but sometimes you make decisions to be present to it. And I think as we practice with this and learn about this, and I'm going to do this over a couple of weeks, we'll start to see how to do that. Okay. So in meditation, there's typically five different obstacles. That are traditionally talked about: sleepiness, restlessness, desire or craving, aversion, disliking, boredom, resentment, resistance, fear, and then doubt is the fifth one. And I'll go through a couple of them today, a couple of them next week when we meet again. Now, what's interesting about them is that not only do they show up in meditation, but they show up in life. So, what's happening in our mind is also happening out there. And what we'll look at is both what do we do with the meditation? How do we work with an antidote to it? How do we address it? And then, how do we explore being with it? And then, what about out in daily life? What does that mean? So, restlessness in meditation, the daily life analog would be a busy life, too much busyness, and we'll explore that. And then we can even think about sort of the larger, maybe we'll have time for this, but like the larger sort of cultural versions or of the of these each of these obstacles. Like, well, what is restlessness writ large in the world? Maybe it's just like a busy, hyped up culture that has no time for introspection and everything's about accomplishing things, that kind of thing. And so the last thing to say about it is that as we explore these obstacles, we get to know ourselves and our meditation practice and our mind and our habits and our tendencies. And it gives us more courage to face the obstacles that life brings with those qualities that I was talking about, humor and openness and ease and mindfulness. And we can stop resisting life so much, like, oh, there's something wrong that I'm running into a struggle. The struggle is actually part of it. So in a way, we turn the obstacles into allies. and that we can live life with more fearlessness, openness, curiosity, really enjoy. It's true. So I'm always like, when I see something's not going the way I want it to go, I'm like, all right, what's the learning in here? What is the gift? Sometimes there is. No, sometimes things are just rotten, you know. That is true. The obstacle, I can't see any good in this. But a lot of times, as we open to that obstacle, we find ways to navigate it with more ease and connection to ourselves.
Is this part of the health obstacles?
Not sure what you mean by that question.
People have asked about when they're having pain or some physical thing, and you said you would talk about that in a future talk.
I did. Okay. I'm not going to talk about it today, but I will talk about it in the future. I completely forgot. I'm so glad you reminded me. There are some other talks that I have given on pain. So if you go on the UCLA Mindful app and just put in a search for pain, you will see a long talk on that. This can apply to pain because when we get into aversion, which is things that we're disliking and hating, pain is certainly in that category. Okay. All right, so let's start with one of the really obvious ones that everybody is familiar with in meditation, and that is sleepiness. Sleepiness, this comes out of a kind of Buddhist formulation. It's often called sloth and torpor. So think about it, the animal sloth, it just how slow they are, that quality of torpor that, like, I cannot move. I'm just, you know, the way that those of us dealing with the very intense heat have been feeling, you know, that feeling when you're just so hot and you're just sitting there and you cannot, like, our minds get like that with that kind of sleepiness. And this is incredibly common and will happen through a lifetime of meditation. A lifetime of meditation. I've been meditating, I don't know, decades and decades. I still get sleepy in meditation. It's not like it goes away because I get to a certain point in my meditation where it's always going to be some perfect place. No, there's always going to be sleepiness depending on conditions in my life. The sleepiness can show up as haziness, fogginess, dreamy, sluggish, sloth and torpor, even falling asleep. So this is kind of fun. I don't know if you've ever been on in a meditation retreat, and you've seen people do, sometimes it's called the Zen lurch. And it's when they're meditating, they're sitting up straight. And for those of you who can see me, I'm going to act it out. Right? You go forward and then you kind of shock and move back as you wake up on the forward. Right. And in some Zen centers where you meditate facing the wall, there are people who have banged their heads against the wall, sad to say. So people do fall asleep in meditation. And sometimes the sleepiness is actually quite pleasant and peaceful and enjoyable. Sometimes we hate it and we have a lot of aversion when we experience it, including getting angry at ourselves. You know, why am I ha sleepy? I'm trying to meditate. Why am I sleeping? There appears to be three different types of sleepiness in meditation. One is the sleepiness that comes because people don't get enough sleep. I mean, that is just statistically, you know, I often say to people, like, wait, let me guess, all of you didn't get enough sleep last night, right? And then people nod their head and I'll say, yeah, most people, I mean, the statistics are that the majority of people in the United States, I don't know in other countries, but do not get enough sleep. So we come to meditate, we try to be paying attention to our breath and our body. And let's say you're listening to me talking and my voice is soothing and people just go out. So it's not the end of the world, but we'll talk about how to work with it. Then another issue that comes up in when there's sleepiness in meditation is what we might think of as an imbalance of energy. And what that means is when we're meditating, we're cultivating different factors of our minds, different aspects of our mind that can be balanced or imbalanced. So one of the aspects of the mind is getting concentrated. So when I'm having you notice your breathing and you're just staying with it over and over, the mind can get concentrated, which means it gets gathered, collected, unified, it gets more powerful because it's concentrated. The opposite thing that we're developing is energy, right? We're building energy through sustained attention, persistence. We want to be alert and aware and present. Now, those two are sometimes balanced and sometimes imbalanced. When they're balanced, that's when you're meditating and you're just like, oh man, this is a great meditation. I feel alert. I feel focused. I'm in the groove. I'm locked in, as my daughter would say. Some of the time, but a lot of the time, that's not what's happening. A lot of the time, what's happening is it's an imbalance, and there's more energy and less concentration, or more concentration and less energy. When there's an energy imbalance and the concentration is pretty strong, but the energy is very low, we can get sleepy in meditation. So that's one thing I like to tell people to acknowledge that it's actually a good thing. You're developing concentration. It just doesn't have enough energy to kind of bolster it, keep it strong. The third way that people sometimes experience sleepiness is when they may have an emotional situation, something that's going on emotionally that's hard, and they may not want to feel it. And so their mind just kind of goes to sleep. So that's something to pay attention to, and I'll talk about how to do that and how to work with that in a moment. But those are the three ways that I see sleepiness showing up. Sleepy because you don't get enough sleep, sleepy because the energy's imbalanced, or sleepy because there's some emotional issue that isn't wanting to be seen. So how do we work with it? Well, sleep more. Easier said than done. I know so many people have sleep issues. Mindfulness can be helpful for sleep. I mean, it's often used as a tool and technique. We have on our app, we have a mindfulness for sleep section. And that's, well, we will have a section, but right now we have a couple of meditations on it for sleep. And there are all these protocols. There's actually a sleep clinic here at UCLA that offers mindfulness as a tool to work specifically to work with like anxious thoughts that happen in the middle of the night. So getting more sleep, using mindfulness to support sleep. And I always feel like, let's say you're really, really tired and you sit down to meditate and you kind of mostly fall asleep or sort of get there. It's not the worst thing in the world. You probably really needed this sleep. And a story I always tell is that when many years ago, when we used to have our MAPS classes, which were our 6-week classes, I taught them, and my aunt, who was in her 80s, would come to the class. And my aunt was dealing with like a horrible insomnia. She never slept. And she told me that she got the best sleep of the week in my classes. So I was very pleased with that. So you can use it to help you sleep. So that's the first one, is sleeping more. The second thing is so remember I said one thing, there are certain kinds of antidotes to these different hindrances. So one thing that you can do, well, there's a number of things you can do. You can open your eyes, you can rub your eyes, wiggle your fingers and toes, adjust your posture. The standing meditation that we did at the beginning of the class is a very helpful tool for dealing with sleepiness, because most people do not fall asleep when they're standing. So that's a good one. If you're really tired, you really want to meditate, to just stand up, or to do like a movement meditation, like a walking meditation, for example. There are some very strange things I've heard over the years, like pull your earlobes. I don't know if that works, but maybe it's like an acupuncture point or something. Other things I've heard, I mean, this one I would never recommend, but someone said they were told to do this, to meditate in front of an open well. So bad idea. I'm not advocating for that, but you probably won't fall asleep. So things that keep you, that work to kind of counteract the sleepiness tendencies. And then the second one is when you're is not about getting rid of it, but being mindful of sleepiness, noticing it in our bodies, noticing what it feels like, noticing our reaction to it. This is very interesting. And this is important because this is what I was talking about earlier. This is when it becomes part of the meditation, not an obstacle that's ruining my meditation. I can't meditate because I'm falling asleep all the time. So, what is sleepiness? Oh, it actually is this interesting set of sensations. We'll explore that in a moment. But let me give you the last couple of things. Actually, let's explore that now. Sort of like how do you be mindfulness of sleepiness? So, if you wouldn't mind for a moment, just if you want to close your eyes and you may not feel sleepy right now. You might, or sluggish or filled with torpor. See if you can recall the last time you felt sluggish, sleepy, exhausted. Maybe that was just a few hours ago. Maybe it was last night, but see if you can remember what that was like. And as you recall that, what do you feel in your body? See if you can sense the feeling of sleepiness. Maybe there's a heaviness, a wooziness, a softness, a hazy quality. So, what do you experience? And breathe. Okay, so now I want you to open your eyes and wake yourself back up just in case you invoked it. And let's end this little piece. What qualities, and you can put into the chat, what qualities were you able to notice in your body and mind when I asked you to recall this? Do you have words for it? And you can just throw it into the chat. A letting go quality, maybe letting go into sleep, a whole body tiredness, heaviness, heavy, foggy brain, fell asleep again, literally. Heaviness. Yeah. Release. So sometimes it can be, remember I said sometimes it can be pleasant and peaceful. So a few people mentioned a letting go and a release, heavy eyes, escape. Relaxation, right? So sleepiness can have these pleasant qualities to it, and I that's why I say sometimes it's not the worst thing in the world. It's actually can be quite enjoyable, struggling to stay awake. Okay, great. Now you just did it. You were all mindful of sleepiness. If I were to say in the abstract, be mindful of yourself feelings, be mindful of sleepiness. It's sort of like, what am I aware of? But when I ask you to actually notice the physical sensations, and some of you were also reporting how your mind felt, you're able to do it. And that's the thing, when you're really sleepy, when you're meditating, you can notice, oh, there's heaviness, all the things you said, relaxation, heavy eyes, and so forth. Okay, so that's the principle of it becomes part of the meditation. It's not separate from it. Okay, so when it's related to an energy imbalance, let's say, remember I said that sometimes it can be you have too much concentration and not enough energy. What you want to do is bring in more energy into your body and mind. And some of that is opening your eyes and moving a little bit. So trying some walking meditation that's quicker, like fast walking meditation. But something that brings in more energy is what you want to do if you suspect it might be an energy imbalance. And then for the one about what do I do if maybe there's some emotion going on that I'm not aware of, there's a lovely practice that you would just be very gentle with yourself without a lot of expectations. But if you're finding yourself to sleepy, sleepy, sleepy as you meditate, you can ask the question, if sleepiness weren't here, what would be here? And sometimes when we do that, we tune into, oh, there's sadness here, or I'm feeling anxious, or I'm grieving something, or angry. And then if we allow ourselves to have that emotion in the way we know how to do with mindfulness, then we will have some success with being present with it. and being present with ourselves through the emotion. Now, sleepiness also shows up in other ways. It shows up not just in the meditation practice itself, but in relation to it. So we know we should meditate, but we're feeling too sleepy and we don't want to get out of bed. Or, okay, I'll just do it for 2 minutes. Okay, I've had it. I'm too tired, right? We can apply the same techniques when we experiencing it, when we experience the same techniques I just talked about to the right before we're going to meditate. If we're too tired, we can get up, we can meditate in bed. That's, by the way, one of my favorite places to meditate is bed. It's really, really the only thing about it is you can fall asleep. So you have to prop yourself up with pillows if you're going to meditate in bed so that you're not falling asleep. But it can be very, very helpful. And that's how I work with my lazy mind. My mind's like, I don't want to meditate. And then I'll say, well, what about staying in bed and doing it? And then that part of me will go, okay, I'm willing to do that. And then we go from there. I don't normally invite people to do a lying down meditation unless there's like some health condition. For instance, if you have a very bad back and it's too hard to sit up or stand. But if you do decide you want to do a lying down meditation, especially if you're doing that before you go to sleep, that's a really excellent way to practice. One, I don't know, I was going to say fun, but it's not really that fun. One thing you can do if you're lying down to help you not fall asleep is to put your arm up. So let's say I was lying flat, but my arm would be perpendicular. And then if I start to fall asleep, the arm's going to like knock me in the head and wake me up. I know it's super silly, but it works if you're trying to not fall asleep in bed meditation. Another way of working with procrastination on meditation is to tell yourself you'll meditate just for 5 minutes. Set the bar really low and see what happens. Or I'll just get into my meditation chair for 1 minute, and then oftentimes you want to keep going. So the sleepiness, the last thing I want to talk about sleepiness is that where does it show up in life? It shows up in life in procrastination, when we're feeling exhausted in life, lazy. And I don't mean to be judgmental to ourselves, but that lazy feeling of like, oh, I just want to stay in bed all day. Or it shows up just like, I mean, it's the same memory set. If it's in here, it's out here. It's the same mental state, but it shows up, oh, I have to go check my email. I really don't want to do this. All right. That's the same thing. It's the same quality of the mind. So if we can learn to work with it as a meditative practice, we can use that on the spot. We can see sleepiness show up throughout the day. We can see procrastination. We can see avoidance that seems to be rooted in this sleepiness. And one really important thing is to remember to forgive ourselves because we're all human. This is normal. We can apply mindfulness of the sleepiness on the spot in daily life. And we can really look at our lives and go like, where do I set myself up to be exhausted? Am I working too hard? Do I not give myself a break? These are things to become aware of in daily life. I think maybe I was trying to think about like on a larger cultural level, like or social level, or like if we're looking at this obstacle. I'm not even really sure, but it might be something like when we feel like people feel apathetic and disempowered and overwhelmed, and that's where the obstacle shows up, and they don't want to act or do anything, or just a culture of like, I don't know, it tends not to be the main obstacle that the US faces. I think the opposite one of restlessness is more the kind of main hindrance, but it's something to explore. Okay, So I'm going to pause for a moment and see if there are any questions about sleepiness and meditation or life. And I saw someone says, I use your sleep meditation to help me fall asleep. That's great, Dana. I'm glad it's helpful for you. And please use them. And we're going to try to put a sleep section into the app with more meditations. So any comments or questions? And I'll move on to the next one. There's a lot of content today, so I just want to make sure
I
everybody.
don't know I've fallen asleep until I've woken up and I'm groggy. Are you saying I should then be aware that I'm falling asleep?
Great question. And this is something important. A lot of times we don't know that we've fallen asleep, so there's no way that you can be aware. So remember I said there are different degrees of sleepiness. So sometimes the sleepiness is just like a subtle heaviness and groggy feeling, and that's easier to be aware of. But if you're really like falling asleep, you're not going to be aware. So it's when you wake up and then you're, oh man, I was asleep. Okay, so maybe I'll stand up and work with this. And also to notice the aversion, because oftentimes when we're sleepy, we get mad at ourselves. What's wrong with my meditation? I'm falling asleep so much. This is terrible. So just to notice that as well. But yeah, thank you for your question. That's clarifying. All right. If there's no other comments or questions, you ready for another one? Not too much. I'm not throwing too much at you. That's okay. All right. So let's talk about the opposite. And that opposite is restlessness. Restlessness and meditation is manifests itself in our body in a lot of different ways. It can be like a very strong kind of antsy feeling, a sense of jumping, wanting to jump out of our skin, wanting to get up and run. Like it can be very gross. In our mind, it can be more subtle. It can be excessive thoughts, worry, planning, anxiety, endless rapid thoughts. It can be that inability to stay focused. And it can happen in subtle ways or it can happen in gross ways. It can be like, okay, I've been meditating for 20 minutes and I think I noticed my breathing once, right? That would be a restless mind. So I'm sure we've all experienced this, correct? Yes, we've experienced it. When it's subtle, we experience our mind not resting on our breath. It's like it's hard to connect with the meditation object. So it's like, okay, I can't quite notice my breathing. It just doesn't land. But when it's gross, it can just be like, get me out of here. I got to go do something else. I can't stand this. Also accompanied by aversion because it's so uncomfortable. And can is also is so when I talked earlier about an energy imbalance, the energy imbalance is the opposite. So remember, with a sleepy mind, a lot of concentration, but not a lot of energy. With a restless mind, a lot of energy, but not much concentration. So it's the opposite. This is a little bit more advanced. So if you're not exactly sure what I'm talking about it, then just know that this is sort of a little harder to distinguish, but is absolutely doable. And then it also can be covering something up, the same thing. We can get really restless when we don't want to feel something. I don't know if you've ever like been upset about something and you come home and you're just like checking the fridge five times, turning on the TV, running over, doing, you know, do you ever have do that? You just, okay, I gotta check my email, I gotta, oh, I'm gonna make a call because we're actually feeling sad and we don't want to connect in with what's happening inside. So, working with restlessness is also there are a lot of tools and ways to do it. One of the ways of working with it is to make your mind more refined and precise, increasing the concentration through note. Remember, because it's an energy imbalance, because through noticing more closely. So, how do we do that? How do we increase concentration? We can I've taught classes on increasing concentration, but things like using verbal notes, like rising, falling quietly in your mind, silently in your mind, counting your breath increases concentration. In a few minutes, we'll practice with some concentration practices before we end, assuming we have enough time. Things to deepen your concentration can help with a restless mind. But the funny thing about restlessness is sometimes making our mind more spacious is actually more helpful. So when we're feeling really antsy, instead of trying to calm it, it's like we open it. So we turn our attention to sounds. We do a more spacious, we can meditation. We can open our eyes. So, for instance, the analogy that's sometimes used is if you think about a wild horse who's just running around, is untamed, and you put a wild horse in a contained fence area, it's just going to get more anxious and be more wild. But if you give them a wide open pasture, still contained, but wide open, and then they just run until they tire themselves out. That's the idea with our minds. Yes, the session will be available. So this is a way of working with the restlessness, is making your mind more spacious. And then the other way, which is not just trying to counteract it, but it's also becoming aware of it. What does restlessness feel like in our body? So we're going to take that for a moment right now and practice that. So let's just pause for a moment, take a breath, and close your eyes if you want to, up to you. And I don't know if you're feeling restless now. If you are, great. If you're not, can you remember when you were feeling restless mind, maybe in meditation or in the course of a day? And just bring that to mind. Could have been yesterday or this week. And as you remember it, what did that feel like in your body? What does restlessness feel like in your body? Like, oh, I just want to move and jump and get out of my skin. What's a restless mind feel like? Do you remember what it felt like? So just tune into your mind right now. How does it feel? Zipping all around. It's uncomfortable. It's frustrating. Okay, let's pause for a moment and just imagine, actually, turn your attention to the sounds around you. And if you're sitting upright really tight, see if you can relax your body and just soften and just rest here for a moment. And notice what happens to that restless mind that you've invoked. Okay, let's open our eyes. All right, if you wouldn't mind putting into the chat, you could put one of two things in the chat. One, what does a restless mind and body feel like to you? And then what happened when I said, even just for a few seconds, to open up in a spacious way? Many different thoughts. So you notice a lot of thoughts. I could hear and felt the blood pumping around my head. My restless mind wants the meditation to end and focuses on that. Yeah, great observation. Totally racing head and then being sleepy, opening, anxiety, relaxing the body slowed me down. So good. So when you began to do some of the practices, it slowed you down. And then someone said, I don't know how to have a spacious mind. That's okay. But we'll get to that. From a busy mind to feeling the space surrounding me. That's a way to have a spacious mind, is just to tune into the space around you or the sounds. And don't, there's a lot I'm going for today, so some of it doesn't make sense. Don't worry about it. Lots of chatter in my mind and urge to move. All right, so everybody who have replied here, who has replied here, they were able to be mindful of the restlessness. And so, as you did that, what happened is it went from being something negatively impacting my mind to, oh, a place for me to bring mindfulness. This is what I was talking about earlier. When we can start to see the obstacles as part of the practice, there's a lot of freedom. It's not like I'm waiting for a time that my meditation is going to be a certain way and then I'll have a good meditation. Anything is possible to pay attention to. This is the way that we learn and we grow. So you all were able to do it. Other tools are practicing loving kindness. That's a good one. And any of these tools can be done in the midst of daily life. So in daily life, restlessness can manifest itself as a speediness, a busyness, multitasking, a response to information overload. This is when I was saying, what is the cultural hindrances? I think this is the big one, right? People are just overwhelmed with information in our minds, and the world is going at such a rapid pace. And now with AI, God knows what's going to happen. Right. So how do we then use the different ways that I talked about, kind of counteracting it, to help us relax and slow down and be willing to sit with the non-doing, to willing to just be with life rather than lost in the busyness of life. Now, there's a lot of tools that we can use here, which I think I've given talks on, but so I'm not going to get into it too much today. But just to know that I think it's one of the biggest issues that so many of us have to deal with, is how we deal with the restless, busy, overloaded mind, and how do we find peace within it. But someone has brought up a teaching that we talked about a few weeks ago, which was a few months ago, about the second arrow, the first arrow, and the second arrow. And this is really relevant here with the obstacles, because the first arrow, as you remember, is something is happening and we didn't really necessarily cause it. It's just happening. So our mind is filled with a hindrance. We're sleepy, we're restless, we're angry, we're dealing with something. That's the first arrow. The second arrow is the one we shoot at ourselves. What's wrong with me? Why am I having this hindrance? My meditation is terrible. I'm the worst meditator in the world. I shouldn't be having restlessness. I got enough sleep last night. What's wrong with me? This is the second arrow, and this is the one we have control over. So instead of using it to beat ourselves up and to shoot more arrows at ourselves, we can just notice, this is what's happening. This is what restlessness is like. This is what sleepiness is like. There are ways that I can work on it. And this is part of my meditation too. And it's not a problem. It's just what happens. And this is life. Sometimes I'm sleepy. Sometimes I'm restless. And I can work with it. And I can be present to all the difficulties in life, all the obstacles that emerge without feeling like there's a problem in life, just like this is part of life and I can learn to work with it and get through it. Right, I'm going to pause here. We just have a little bit of time and I wanted to see if there are any more comments, questions, and then we'll go from there. Hi, Siddha. Sure.
When I have difficulty meditating, I usually try guided meditation, and that helps me a lot.
I strongly recommend guided meditations. And it's a tool to help us stay focused, especially if we deal with a lot of restlessness. guided meditations can really keep us on track, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And then there are some times where we feel like, oh, I'd like to meditate in silence. Like, I think I got the technique. It's down. I want the quiet. And then we go in that direction. But, I back in the old days, UCLA, we used to have CDs that we gave out. Remember CDs? Anyway, people would write me like 10 years later and say, I broke my CD. Could you send me a new one? So people use them for years and years and years, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Thank you.
Sure. Yuna wrote, I try one breath at a time during meditation. It helps me to feel calm. Great, wonderful practice. So when our minds are feeling restlessness, if I can just stay with one breath, and then the next breath, and then the next breath, it's a helpful tool for calming the mind and gathering the mind. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not hearing a lot more around these obstacles. There are three more for us to explore. Now, I'm looking at my schedule and I'm just seeing I will be here next week, so we'll do at least one more next week. And then I may have to do it over a couple of weeks staggered, but we'll get to all of them. And my invitation to you is really to explore. If you meditate on your own, hopefully you do. Hopefully you have a daily practice that you will use it to see, oh, there's this sleepiness is arising. Oh, right. Diana said I could try this or try that and really apply it and see if it helps. I'm really sleepy. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to do standing meditation. Oh, I'm sleepy and I'm noticing some sadness. Maybe I'm just going to pause and let myself feel the sadness and see what happens to the sleepiness. Oh, I'm sleepy and I feel like I'm pretty concentrated. So maybe I need to boost my energy. Or conversely, I'm meditating, I'm restless. What if I just really relax and see what happens? Or can I notice the restlessness, right? There are all these tools, and I just want you to, I mean, obviously you're not going to remember them all, but you can play with the ones that you do remember, and it just helps us to work with the meditation and not take it so personally, right? Okay, so I think I'm going to end a little bit early today, and because I've been talking for a long time, and I think I need a break. Just want to let you know things that are coming up at our center. We have what is coming up? Oh, one thing I wanted to announce is I teach a retreat at Spirit Rock that is in person at the end of the month. And there we decided to open up to a hybrid. So if anybody is interested, it's a beginner retreat. It's 3 full days with like a partial on either side. So it's kind of 4 nights. But if you're interested in doing it at home, there's some slots available to be kind of part of the retreat, but doing it virtually. And if you actually wanted to try a meditation retreat from your own home, that was a great opportunity. And maybe Serena can put the link to that. And then we have a lot of things coming up, and they're all about to be in our newsletter. And I can't remember any of them. So if you're have our newsletter, you'll get them in a couple of days. And Serena is putting all of that, and Spirit, she put the Spirit Rock retreat on for you too. So that's an option to sign up. It's very affordable as well. Right, let's just take one moment to breathe together. And as we notice our body, heart, mind, just offer some kindness out to all of the members of this group who come and go from week to week. And there's a large extended community, and wishing everyone well, wishing ease and well-being. And kindness to yourself for whatever is happening in your meditation or in life. Okay. All right, then we'll open our eyes. I'll
Thank
see
you.
you all in the future. Welcome to the new people. And we're every week. If it's not me, it's one of my wonderful trained teachers. So come see any of us. All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.